Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me on this conference call today. If you would, I'm going to try to mute everybody at this time so that the microphones are muted and we don't, you know, have any any other kind of background noise. But you should all be able to hear me kind of as we move forward with this. Today, I'm going to spend a little bit of our time discussing the current market environment, the stimulus that we've received so far, and some of the current economic data with some economic projections, even though at this time it's really hard to project anything with all the uncertainty and not a lot of data out quite yet. And then also kind of where I believe we'll be headed from here. During or after the call, if anyone has any questions for me or would like to discuss anything, please just, you know, send me an email or give me a call once the call's over. I'm going to go ahead and start with a little bit of positive news. So I'm sure everybody saw on Tuesday that the Dow soared more than 2,100 points, which from a percentage standpoint, that's 11%. And that's the biggest one-day percentage gain since 1933. And it's the best point increase, the 2,100, that we've ever had. The same day, the S&P rallied 9.4%, and that's the best day we've had since October 2008. The bounce continued yesterday, giving us our first back-to-back positive days since early February. And if you've taken a look at where the market is today, we're working on a third day right now of positive gains, which, you know, after last week, you would have started to think that the market might not be able to go up. But today we're getting a little bit of a reassurance with the bounce that we've had so far. Another vote of confidence that we got yesterday was during an interview, former Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke mentioned that the economy is going to experience a quick rebound after we have a sharp recession. He also said the current situation's closer to like a major snowstorm than it would be to a Great Depression. He also acknowledged that the Fed has moved extremely quickly to stem the economic blow from the outbreak, and that the Fed has been extremely proactive in all of the policies that they've implemented so far. So the Federal Reserve and monetary policy, so far the Fed's done in sort of a 2 to 3 week period what it took close to 6 to 7 months for them to do during the financial crisis. They started off with an emergency intermeeting interest rate cut. It was about 50 basis points. They followed that on a Sunday, coming out, slashing rates to zero, so dropping it about another 1%. And then they also said they were going to do quantitative easing, which basically they're just purchasing bonds and providing liquidity to the market. Last week, they took another step within the quantitative easing. They increased the amount of bonds they were going to be buying. And at this point, they said they're going to buy mortgage-backed securities, which is going to help mortgages, auto loans, and all of those things. This week, so that was on Friday. And then on Monday, they came out and said, basically, they're going to start buying some corporate bonds because we were having some liquidity issues in the bond market. And then they also said now, you know, there's no cap. Just, we got a blank check that they have an unlimited amount of amount of money that basically they're going to be buying and putting liquidity in the market. And so this, you know, leads me to believe that now they're taking a whatever it takes mentality to this situation to provide liquidity, to keep the bond market greased, and to keep the lending market moving, which will keep us from, which to me is the proper stance to take. It's going to help prevent, you know, or lessen the economic shock. It's going to help ease liquidity issues that we might have. And it's going to keep us from getting into a credit crunch where basically nobody's going to lend any money. So the Fed is doing a good job and they've been definitely proactive in this. If we look at the fiscal side, I would have thought by now that we would have received a fiscal, you know, bill through the Senate, through the House. There has been a lot of haggling. I believe late last night, the bill did make it through the Senate with a unanimous vote, and it's going to be headed to the House. So we know a little bit about the bill, but you guys know how this is. It's usually probably a 500-something page document. All the information hasn't been released yet, but we'll get that as it really comes out. But we do know that it's going to be close to a $2.2 trillion stimulus package. $250 billion direct payments to individuals, $350 billion in small business loans, $250 billion in unemployment insurance benefits, $500 billion in loans for companies that are distressed. And then from a municipality, kind of local government standpoint, $130 billion to hospitals, and then $150 billion to state and local governments. And then the airlines are also going to receive approximately like $50 billion. And so basically together, if we were to add the monetary policy from the Fed so far, the fiscal policy, we're looking at this legislation is going to be about a $6 trillion stimulus package. That's about 30% of our annual GDP. And that'll be before, like last year's GDP. The package is it's going to more than double the U.S. budget, which was already planned to be about $1 trillion this year before the virus. We anticipate that this won't be the end. I have a feeling we're probably going to get another stimulus package from everything that I'm hearing. It's most likely going to include another payment to individuals and more help for some of these smaller businesses, the mom and pop businesses. But it's really hard to tell, and it's really going to take some time to see how well the stimulus that they're doing right now works. So probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's also going to depend on how long everything is shut down, to how much more stimulus they have. If we look at some economic data, so today, and the reason I tried to wait and do the call today was because we received our first weekly unemployment claims number since California did their shelter in place, and a lot of other places have done that. And most businesses have been, non-essential businesses have been shut down, and a lot of people have been sent home. So today, weekly unemployment claims were released. They came out to be 3.28 million. That is, kind of an appalling number. They were expected, kind of based on different projections, to be around 1.5 million. This number shatters, the unemployment claims we had during the Great Recession at the peak, which was 665,000. The all-time high we've ever had previously was 695,000. That was October 1982. But what we have to remember is that during the Great Recession in October 1982, the economy was still open. We didn't force everything to close. So the numbers are going to be ugly, but they're also going to be more temporary in nature. This is kind of one of those things where we've never shut the economy down like this before. So the numbers are going to be appalling. But once the economy returns and kind of ramps up, the unemployment claims are going to stabilize. The actual unemployment number from a percentage standpoint that comes out on a monthly basis is expected to jump from around 3.5% to 7.5%. And it could jump as high as 11%. And of course, that would be the highest unemployment we've had since the Great Depression. But again, the numbers are going to be high because virtually all business has been shut down. But again, as the economy gets started back up, the jobs are going to come back. Unemployment's going to smooth out, with the hope that we don't lose too many jobs and maybe potentially too many small businesses from where we were before, the COVID-19 virus. The International Monetary Fund started the year out with projections that we were going to have global growth of approximately 3.3%. And last year we had growth on a global scale at about 2.9%. So right now forecasts have, you know, started to come down, and we think they're going to be below the 2.5% growth threshold that the International Monetary Fund uses to define, you know, the global recessions. So this most likely means we're going to end up having a global recession. A lot of this has been priced in and it's kind of known at this point. But we do expect that we would recover once all the global economies kind of get back to a sense of normalcy. But one positive of this is that all the world's central banks and the governments have been providing, you know, almost unlimited amounts of stimulus to lower the economic impact of the situation that we're facing. If we take a look at the U.S. itself, GDP or our gross domestic product, so what we use to look at our growth, for the first quarter, we're looking at it probably coming in close to zero and possibly even negative after revisions. That's why you might hear out there that a lot of people are saying that we're already in a recession. So once the numbers come in from China and a lot of the slowness that maybe we weren't feeling yet, once those numbers and revisions come in, that could bring us closer to negative on, you know, our first GDP. Definitely, we're anticipating second quarter GDP is going to be ugly. It's going to be negative, and, you know, it could be in double digits. But it's really the hardest to forecast because we don't know the severity yet, but we know that everything is shut down. So we can kind of try to calculate, but it's, you know, it's a lot harder to come up with anything at this point. And then we expect during the third quarter that GDP is going to start to smooth out, potentially be slightly negative, slightly positive. It really all depends on how long everything is shut down and when everything starts to return. So the third quarter's a little bit of a wild card, but it's not going to be as bad as second quarter. Fourth quarter, we expect a swift recovery. Probably going to have a pretty good number in fourth quarter, which is going to be, you know, help lower the impact of the whole annual GDP. But we do expect growth to really bounce back strong in 2021. And since we're technically going to have a recession, all it is two, from a technical standpoint, is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. It's not going to feel the same as recessions of the past have, mainly because this one is like self-inflicted. It's not it's not even as much of an economical thing as that we just shut everything down. And on top of that, we're receiving massive monetary and fiscal stimulus. So most likely what we're going to see is everything's going to bounce back really fast once the economy resumes operations and the fear of contracting the virus subsides. So I feel like there's going to be this period where, you know, people might not want to go out to a restaurant. They might not want to go to a movie theater. Maybe they're going to postpone a trip for a little while because they don't want to fly on a plane really close to folks. So there's going to be this period while everything sort of ramps up and that fear subsides. And if we look at kind of what inflation is going to do, normally when you really infuse the amount of stimulus that's been infused, it would historically be inflationary. But what's happening is that since we're in ultra low interest rates, and we don't have that growth, in the short term, we're not going to have, you know, inflation. It's going to stay really low. And in order for this to fuel inflation, we're going to need some higher interest rates and we're going to need growth. So if we stay in this ultra low interest rate environment with mediocre growth, this really won't be, you know, like hyperinflationary. at this time. And even if we do get some inflation, we're going to get higher interest rates, which might not be the worst thing for CDs and savings accounts and even bonds and, you know, some of our fixed income. So if we look at the stock market, which has been very dismal to this point, so on last Friday, the S&P closed at 2305. It was the third consecutive week that we had new lows, and it had fallen the last four of the five past weeks. This has been the fastest all-time high to a bear market decline on record, with the S&P down from its peak 32%. From the market's peak, the sectors that were hit the worst were energy, which was down around 53%, financials down right around 40%, and industrials down about 40%. The four outperforming sectors were defensive and growth oriented. So our consumer staples were down around 22%. Healthcare was down around 24%. Communication services, right around 28%. And technology was around 30%. We continue to see growth outperform value. And we also continue to see large cap stocks hold up better than small cap stocks. Last week was a terrible week for the market. The S&P was down right around 15%. From the peak on February 19th so far to the low we had on Monday, the S&P fell from a little under 3,400 to right around 2,200. That's about a 1,200-point decrease, or in percentage terms, right around 35%. From the peak, for the Dow, the peak was on February 12th. The low was also this month, last Monday, March 23rd. The Dow fell from right around 30,000, it was just a little shy of 30,000, to around 18,000, which was an 11,000-point drop, or 38% in percentage terms. So currently through yesterday, we were down 27% from the high on the S&P, and the Dow was down around 29% from the peak. So we've recovered a little bit from the lows so far. This has definitely been, you know, the fastest drop that we've ever seen. It took the S&P only 22 days, trading days, to fall 30% from its record high. That makes it the fastest drop that we've ever had in history. So, you know, what does all this mean? So we are currently in a bear market, which from a technical standpoint, all that is when you're down over 20%. There's three types of bear markets. One's event-driven. One is structural, and the other one would be more of a cyclical. Structural is the financial crisis. So that's usually the worst, and it usually takes the longest to recover. The fact that the Federal Reserve has really stepped in and provided this liquidity, and then that we're also getting this fiscal policy, that should keep anything from getting systemic and prevent us from going into a, you know, like a structural bear market for to get to that category. If we look at the cyclical, that's just when the business cycle ends. And you know, those are, you know, not as bad as structural, but it takes a little longer to recover. So this bear market is going to be characterized as event driven at this point. It could transition to the others, but based on the stimulus that we're receiving, it's really feeling like more of an event-driven bear market. The good thing about the event-driven bear markets is the recovery is shorter than you would be if it was structural or it was actually cyclical. And that's kind of what we're hearing. And that's what we've thought all along, is that once this is over and everything gets back to normal, there's not a lot of fundamental issues out there, and everything's going to bounce back relatively quick. So if we talk about recoveries themselves, there's two types of recoveries. There's a V-shaped and like a W-shaped. Unfortunately, most of the time market declines, most of the time the market declines more than 10%, and it's about 70% of the time, we end up having a W-shaped recovery. It's not always the case, but it's very common. So just to kind of give you an idea, a V-shaped recovery is basically when we go down, hit that market bottom, and then we just continue to recover and we never go back and test the old lows. A W-shaped recovery is we have a nice bounce off the bottom, and then we have a rally, and then we go and retest those lows. And then once there's confirmation, the market continues to go up. So right now I have a feeling that we're going to go test those lows at some point. Hopefully not. Hopefully we just get, some good news and everything else, but it's just kind of the way we don't know from we really just don't know. But at the end of the day, I have a feeling we're going to be back in a good spot by the time we get to the third, fourth quarter, and definitely early next year. So, when will we know that the recovery is, really in place? So we're going to need to see signs that, all this fiscal stimulus and all of our policies for intervention are enough to prevent a severe second and third economic shock. We also have to see the infection rate, reaching a peak. And then we have to see that from an economical standpoint, that the downturn in the economy, it slows. And we also have to have cheap valuations. So in reality, we don't have to have all of these, but we're going to need a combination of them. And actually, some of them are starting to already show in place, like some of the valuations are definitely cheaper. If we talk a little bit about fixed income was hit really hard last week, just like the stocks were. And you would have anticipated that the bonds would have held up better. Normally, they're negatively correlated, and these high-quality bonds should be up when the stock market is down big. But if we look at an index of kind of like middle of the road, high quality, intermediate term, so like 5 to 7 years in duration, bonds, they were down, 2.25% last week. High yield index, which is correlated to stocks, which is a higher risk, fell around 10%, and that would be normal. But the investment grade corporate bond index fell 9%. And these are high quality, good companies. So that was a little bit of alarming. And treasuries were just flat. They didn't really go up or go down. So, what caused these dislocations in the bond market last week? And that has a lot to do with why the Fed on Friday and Monday of this week, changed their quantitative easing program and really opened it up. So it was caused by a lot of illiquidity in liquid bonds, bonds that are historically liquid. So there was nobody in there buying anything, which caused price discovery issues. So if nobody's buying anything and you only have somebody selling something, it's hard to discover and figure out what's a fair price. So these bonds were marked to market, and it basically led to lower prices on bonds that are, of really good quality. So like I said a minute ago, that's why the Fed stepped in and kind of expanded everything. But if you've seen anything about it this week, what the Fed is doing is working. It's provided liquidity. Those bonds have just bounced back. They're, back to where their proper prices are. And we've also seen gold, which is historically a safe haven, which had been going down last week too, because everybody was using that as they got margin calls, and there was just not liquidity there. It has bounced back, and so we're definitely seeing signs of it. Everything that they're doing is working. And now just to kind of summarize some stuff, hopefully, you know, we're all safe and continue to be safe out there. Again, the government, especially the Fed, they've really stepped up, provided stimulus. I believe they're going to continue to stimulate and get us through this event. I believe the second half of the year and early next year, we have a pretty good chance, a good opportunity to get back to around 3,000 on the S&P and even possibly try to test those old highs set February 19th, which is about 3,400. We are back in a zero interest rate environment. So lower interest rates allow us to have higher valuations for companies on as compared to kind of a higher or a moderate interest rate environment. And so far, we've seen, you know, a pretty dramatic drop in prices. That has helped lower valuations. And kind of over the next coming weeks and quarters, we're going to see a period where we see a lot lower corporate earnings. That's also going to lower valuations a little bit further. And then once we see, you know, the uncertainty being removed from the stock market, we're going to see meaningful increases in prices of stocks. The third and fourth quarter of this year, we should see a return to growth in our earnings. And the growth in the earnings and the lower valuations are going to be two things when we put them together are going to help the stock market recover and really rally towards the end of the year. And one thing, like today, when we had the real negative number for unemployment claims, the market just shook it off and you know, is up really good today. So far today, the market's up, you know, 4.5%, give or take, right there. And a lot of the reason I see that is that we're going to have the fiscal bill, but a lot of it is now we just have a number. So it's almost like, as we start to see these numbers come out and we get them, we know they're going to be bad. Some of them could be worse than anticipated. Some of them could be better. If they're better than anticipated, the market's going to rally. If they're worse, we might have a drop short term. But it's really just, you know, that a little bit of uncertainty was removed today because now we have a number for unemployment claims. And so as we kind of move forward and we get some of these numbers, you know, we're going to see it's either worse than we thought or better than we thought. But the main thing is that we're just slowly going to remove some uncertainty that we've had. And that's really a driver of, you know, not knowing. So, you know, there's just panic and everything gets sold. But all in all, you know, we're in it together and we're going to definitely make it through this. So I want to go ahead and thank everybody that took time to listen to the call today. We thank everybody for their continued trust and confidence in our firm. And again, if you need anything, just, you know, please shoot me an email or give me a call with any questions or if you need anything. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks and have a great day.